MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Price That Vanished, What the Charter Cox Closing Filings Reveal. On a Wednesday in late August of 2026, the largest cable combination in a decade became official, the way such things now do, not with a ceremony, but with a document. The Form 8K that Charter Communications filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission records that effective August 19, 2026, the company completed its acquisition of Cox Communications and, in the same breath, its merger with Liberty Broadband. The headline number attached to the deal, $34.5 billion, has been repeated so often since the announcement in May of 2025 that it reads as fact. Read the closing documents instead, and a stranger story emerges. The price was fixed in a market that no longer exists. The regulatory path ran through labor promises rather than antitrust law, and the family that sold took almost none of its money in cash. The last great cable merger closed on time. Nearly everything else about it moved. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library. The framing matters because the headline and the filings describe different transactions. The headline says Charter bought Cox for $34.5 billion. The filings say Charter and Cox agreed on a price in May of 2025, spent 15 months getting permission, and closed in August of 2026. 15 months in which Charter's own stock lost more than 60% of its value, taking most of the consideration with it. What actually changed hands on August 19th is written down precisely in the 8K, the indentures, and the governance exhibits. It is worth reading the numbers the way the lawyers wrote them because they tell you what cable is worth when nobody is bidding. Section 1. The Deal That Closed. Start with the mechanics, because the structure is the argument. Charter did not simply write a check. The transaction had three moving parts. First, Charter's subsidiary purchased Cox's commercial fiber and managed IT and cloud businesses outright, the Segra Fiber Network and the RapidScale Cloud Operation, for $3.5 billion in cash. Second, Cox Enterprises contributed Cox's residential cable business, the coax, the customers, the brand's home turf, to Charter Holdings, Charter's existing partnership, in exchange for roughly $724 million in cash, $6 billion of convertible preferred units in the partnership, paying a coupon of 6.875%, and roughly 33.6 million common units in the partnership. Third, Charter issued Cox a single share of a new Class C common stock, economically identical to every other Charter share, but carrying votes that mirror Cox's partnership units on an as-converted basis. On top of all of it, roughly $12 billion of Cox debt and finance leases simply stayed where they were, now owed by subsidiaries of Charter. Simultaneously, the Liberty Broadband merger collapsed John Malone's decade-old tracking structure into the parent. Each Liberty share converted into 0.236 of a Charter share. Charter retired the 38.6 million of its own shares Liberty had held, issued 33.9 million new ones, and assumed about $840 million of Liberty net debt to be repaid shortly after closing. When the paperwork settled, Cox Enterprises and its subsidiaries owned approximately 26% of the combined company on a fully diluted, as-converted basis, and the combined company had become, on the arithmetic of the subscriber counts alone, the largest residential internet service provider in the United States, serving roughly 37 million customers across 45 states. Section 2. The Price That Vanished. Here is the number the coverage keeps printing and the documents keep contradicting. The $34.5 billion figure was computed on May 16, 2025, as $21.9 billion of equity plus $12.6 billion of net debt and other obligations. The equity half was not negotiated from Cox's books. It was derived from Charter's stock. The announcement's own footnote says the assets were valued at Cox's estimated 2025 adjusted EBITDA multiplied by Charter's enterprise value to EBITDA trading multiple of 6.44 times, calculated off Charter's 60-day volume-weighted average price of $353.64 a share as of April 25, 2025. Read that again. Cox was priced at parity with Charter's own multiple. No premium, no auction tension, no strategic control kicker. The deal was struck at the price of the buyer's paper. That paper then did what cable paper does in this decade. Charter's stock traded near $400 a share when the deal was signed. By November of 2025, it had lost roughly half its value on brutal broadband subscriber numbers. By the following summer, it touched the low 120s at the lows. On the week of closing, it sat near $150 a share. The 33.6 million partnership units handed to the Cox family carried an implied value of $11.9 billion on announcement day. At closing prices, the same units were worth roughly $5 billion. The 6 billion of preferred units convert into just 12.6 million common units, a strike near $476 a share, more than three times the market price, an option so far out of the money, it functions as a bond. Mark the whole package to the market that actually existed on August 19th, $4 billion in cash, $6 billion of preferred, about $5 billion of common units, $12 billion of assumed debt, and the $34.5 billion deal delivered something closer to 27. The obvious question is why a sophisticated family would accept stock in a falling sector priced off a stale average with no premium. The answer is in the same documents, because the deal was never a sale. The Cox family acquired its first cable franchise in 1962 and ran the company for 64 years. What they built could not be passed down intact, and the options were to sell to a competitor, to sell to private equity, or to convert the inheritance into a permanent seat inside the industry's consolidator. They chose the third. And the consideration structure, mostly units, exchangeable for common stock, with board seats and voting caps attached, is the legal shape of a family trading an operating company for a dynasty interest. Private equity would have paid cash and taken everything else. Charter paid in partnership. When you are selling the last thing your family will ever sell, you do not optimize the ticker. You optimize the table you sit at after. Section 3. How a cable merger gets approved now. The regulatory file is its own revelation because of what is missing from it. The antitrust process, the part that defined Comcast Time Warner Cable's collapse a decade ago, was a non-event. Charter and Cox filed their Hart-Scott-Rodino notifications in the summer of 2025, and the waiting period expired without a second request ever becoming public. No consent decree, no statement from the Department of Justice at all. The government that blocked cable consolidation in 2015 let the creation of the largest residential ISP in the country pass in silence, because the two networks barely overlap, and the market now counts fixed wireless and satellite as competitors. The permission that mattered came with a price list, and the price was not competition remedies. The FCC's order, adopted February 27, 2026, approved the license transfers conditioned on Charter's voluntary commitments. Onshore 100% of the sales and customer service workforce, Cox's offshore call functions, within 18 months. Extend Charter's $20 minimum starting wage to Cox workers. Return pro rata rural digital opportunity fund subsidies wherever the two companies had been paid to build in the same locations. And commit to hiring and promotion practices the agency described as safeguards against DEI discrimination. Merger review in 2026 is industrial policy conducted by commitment letter. The commission did not ask whether 37 million last-mile subscribers gives one company gatekeeper power over the Internet. Petitioners warned of exactly that, and the order was unmoved. It asked what the merged company would do for American workers and rural construction, and it took the answer in writing. The final enforcer was not Washington at all. It was Sacramento. The California Public Utilities Commission held out until August 13, 2026, 6 days before closing, and extracted the deal's only real consumer concessions, at least $275 million in network upgrades to symmetrical gigabit speeds within 3 years, $30 million for digital inclusion, and a package of additional protections the commission itself billed as strong consumer safeguards. The largest cable merger in a decade was not decided by the DOJ, which said nothing, or the FCC, which negotiated jobs. It was decided by a state utilities commission that understood the one thing the federal process had conceded. Once the networks don't overlap, the only leverage left is the permission slip itself. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. Section 4. The balance sheet is the business. Cable has always been a leverage story wearing a media costume, and the closing documents let you watch the leverage being rebuilt in real time. Charter was already one of the most embedded companies in American corporate life before the deal. And to fund the cash consideration, on August 18th, the day before closing, it closed a $4.75 billion offering of new secured notes carrying coupons between 6.05 and 7.85%. It then folded in Cox's $12 billion of assumed debt and finance leases. Pro forma, the largest residential ISP in America carries a debt load well past the $100 billion mark against an equity market capitalization of roughly $20 billion. The stock is a stub on the bonds. Everyone involved knows it. The preferred units the Cox family accepted pay 6.875% because even the equity-like paper in this deal has to behave like debt to be worth holding to be worth holding. The most honest document in the pile is the debt exchange. In the same weeks, Charter offered holders of its legacy bonds, paper issued in the zero-rate era with coupons as low as 2.3%, the chance to swap into the new secured stack. Old promises struck in a different interest rate age are being folded into new paper that pays 6 to nearly 8% to find buyers. Meanwhile, the operating engine keeps shrinking at the edges. Charter lost 172,000 internet customers in the second quarter of 2026 alone, even as it added 406,000 mobile lines. The strategic logic of the deal is written in that pair of numbers. Broadband alone is a melting asset. Broadband plus mobile plus video bundles, sold across 37 million relationships with $500 million of promised cost synergies, is a melting asset with better arithmetic. The Cox family did not sell into strength. They sold the last independent scale asset into the only structure big enough to carry it, and took the structure's paper as payment. Section 5. The family in the boardroom. The governance exhibits read like a succession plan, because they are. The board now has 13 seats. Cox Enterprises holds 3. Alexander Taylor, who becomes chairman of Charter, plus Dallas Clement and Mark Greatricks. Advance Newhouse, the other family partnership that folded its cable systems into Charter in 2016, keeps its 2 seats. And the amended stockholders agreement caps Cox's voting power at 30%. And the Liberty designees are gone. Martin Patterson and J. David Wargo resigned at the effective time, ending the Malone era's direct presence in the boardroom after more than a decade. The man who assembled modern cable's consolidation logic exited the same day the last big deal of that era closed. Whatever replaces his playbook now belongs to 2 families, a pair of voting caps, and a standstill agreement. Two postscripts from the same filing cluster deserve more attention than they will get. The first is the name. Within a year of closing, Charter Communications intends to rename the combined company Cox Communications, the acquirer taking the Target's name, with Spectrum kept as the consumer-facing brand. Charter paid $34.5 billion and concluded the most valuable asset in the deal might be the 64-year-old family brand. The second is the departure. On August 31st, 12 days after closing, Charter disclosed that Chief Financial Officer Jessica Fisher, the executive who had guided the financing through the exchange offers and the $4.75 billion notes, will step down on October 15th to join an artificial intelligence infrastructure venture between Google and Blackstone after nearly a decade at the company. But the person who built the capital structure of the largest cable merger in a decade left the moment it was finished. Read the filings long enough, and you learn that timing is the only footnote that never lies. Section 6. What the documents say to watch. The closing papers double as a scoreboard for the next 3 years, and every metric that matters is already written down. First, the mid-September launch. Spectrum's full pricing and packaging arrives in former Cox markets within weeks, with a free year of mobile service for Cox Internet customers, the bundle strategy deployed at speed, and the first real test of whether Charter's playbook travels. Second, the synergies. $500 million of annualized cost savings within 3 years, the number that has to materialize while integration consumes the management that just lost its CFO. Fourth, the conversion arithmetic. The Cox family's 6 billion of preferred units convert into only 12.6 million common units, a strike near $476 a share. That is the level Charter's stock must reach for the preferred to become common equity rather than a perpetual coupon, the deal's own written definition of success, sitting more than three times above the market. The open question the documents cannot answer is whether this was cable's last consolidation or its first one in the new shape of the business. The bull case is the 90s playbook one more time. Scale, bundle, integrate, delever, and let the regional monopolies compound quietly while the market fixates on the subscriber losses. The bear case is that the buyer's own equity fell more than 60% during the permission process, that bondholders are escaping old paper at a discount, and that the largest residential ISP in America now begins life as a $100 billion debtor whose growth product is a wireless line resold on someone else's network. Both cases can be read in the same 8K. The Cox family, which had 64 years to pick an exit, read them too, and chose to stay in the building in units at 26%, with three board seats and a chairman's gavel. They did not cash out of cable. They moved their chips to the biggest stack at the table, on the only terms the last table in town was offering. That is either the shrewdest trade of the consolidation era, or its final, most expensive act of faith. And the filings, at least, have the decency to print the bet in full. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.